I had the awesome privilege to minister a funeral a couple of years ago. Just floored that I was asked to do that. And the best thing that made that funeral a celebration of someone's life was what we just got done doing, letting everybody break the ice and just go visit with each other. How many funerals have you gone through? You just sit and you're afraid to move because you just don't want to upset anybody. And you just sit. Let people get up and go share their emotions and their love with one another and hug on each other. We did that for a good 10 minutes at that one. And man, the air just went out and everybody just had a wonderful time. They could relax and we could be about the business of celebrating the life of that former student of mine. Hallelujah. Couple announcements that got missed. We have Pittsburgh Steelers fans in here. Do any Pittsburgh Steelers fans have a birthday today? Huh? Who is that, Ernie? What Pittsburgh Steelers fan has a birthday today? Ah, happy birthday, Kathy! And brothers and sisters, I want you to listen on the inside on this next one. And we don't need to establish it right away, but this was asked for me to share. And if this is on your heart, then please see Nancy McCoy after the service. Okay, Nancy, raise your hand so they can see you. We know who Nancy is. But okay, Nancy would like to go visit family over Easter break, but she needs some help. She needs someone who's going to be around to check in on Bruce from time to time. So she has the peace to be able to go and know he's in good hands. Now, we're not talking about going to babysit. We're just talking about checking in on him from time to time. If that is on your heart, okay, if that's something you'd be willing to do to give of yourself for someone else for a time such as this, the kingdom of God we live in, then please see Nancy after the service today. It's done, Nancy. It's just a matter of who it's going to be now. Praise Almighty God. Sometimes I like to hang out with Bruce downstairs during church service. He's kind of fun to hang with. I always talk about the Nebraska Cornhuskers all the time. I don't know about that. Hear me, Bruce? Oh, Father God, we give you the glory and the praise. Hallelujah. Father, keep us from ever touching the glory. It is yours. Nothing in of ourselves. All good and perfect gifts come down from the Father of lights. That's you, Lord. We give you the glory, Father God, for all that is good, for you are good. It starts with what you gave us in your Son, Jesus Christ, and raising him from the dead. And it continues on through your word and the promises that are in there and the accomplished facts of healing. And Father God, we just want to praise you and worship you. The pastor is healed. From the top of his head to the soles of his feet, he is healed. And we give you the glory, Lord. We give you the glory. For you provided the way for healing, Lord. And now, as good children, we have accepted your gift in faith. The Bible says, without faith, it's impossible to please you. Our faith is turned on, Father God, for pastor's healing, for this service to hear from you. So be pleased, Lord, and share with us what you want. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I've had a really interesting few days here. Our school, Rapid City Christian, had a retreat where we all met out at a camp area. And for 2 days, we just got the word ministered to us. And we got to eat a little bit and play some games and things like that. But it was mainly preaching. After the third message, we had four messages in 2 days. After that third message into the fourth, I was done. I was so drunk in the Holy Spirit, I could not move. Now, for those of you who have never heard of such a thing, let's go to the Word right away. I don't want you to think that I drink alcohol, because I don't. All right? I drink of the new wine. The new wine of the new covenant of our Lord Jesus Christ, provided for us when he sent the Comforter. And we're going to talk about that a little bit today. Everybody go with me to Ephesians 5:18. Let's talk about being drunk in the Holy Ghost just a little bit. Just a little bit. Ephesians 5:18. All right, now, raise your hand if you know what I'm talking about and or you've ever been filled or been drunk in the Holy Spirit. Get them up. Let's see it. All right. All right. Yeah. All right. Okay. All right. All right. All right. All right. Ephesians 5:18 says, "And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit of God." Now, I could hand the microphone around and we could share stories on what it means to be drunk in the Holy Spirit. I remember that first time. Jan, you remember that, Rick? Remember that at our house down on the... Yeah, which one? I think it was the second one I'm thinking of, where you couldn't walk up the stairs, where it was so saturated. The first one was over at Luchin's with Carol Perrigo. Remember that? What the heck's going on here? You know, and, it's the most happy, incredible feeling you could have in your life. I mean, as the service was winding down on Friday, I was on my knees and then on my feet, sitting, laying, and my group of kids had to come back together and we had to, you know, do a little debriefing from the message. So I didn't know what they were going to do. Maybe go join another group, because I was against the wall with my head like this, just gone. Opened my eyes and there they were right in front of me, waiting for me to talk. I'm like, you guys. Now, fortunately, one of our special ed aides was right there and helping me at that moment. And I kind of leaned against him, like the Bible says, John leaned into Jesus' bosom at the Last Supper. That's the third time now since I've been at that school that I've been drunk in the Holy Spirit while we're having school going on. So it's okay to have church during school. It's okay to do that. Have a little church during school. Anyway, it's just such a wonderful, wonderful thing. And then yesterday, it was a little bit there in the morning and it was gone. Then I woke up this morning and there it was again. I was like, holy cow, this one's lasting a long time. And I got here to the church this morning and we had our prayer time. And I told Jan, you might have to come get me. I was down in the prayer room, just gone. Just totally gone. So, I did want you to see from the Bible, and I'll take you to one other place here, that getting drunk in the Holy Ghost is scriptural. Okay, I'm not making this up, nor am I delving into human methods of feeling good. God's got plenty for you to feel good. You guys know that? He's more than enough. He does exceedingly abundantly above all you could ask or think. Way above. You don't need the human methods of feeling good. He's got it for you. Ask him for a taste. Ask him for a hit sometime. Ask him for a hit. You like that, Scott? Acts chapter 2. And this is the one we were talking about, Janet, that first Bible study when, holy cow. And I said, what's going on here? What does all this mean? And Rick went right to the Word. Came here to Acts chapter 2. I'll show you what it means. Bear with me as I go through this. We'll start at verse 1. "And when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind and filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. Now when this was all noised together abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own native language. And they were all amazed, marveled, saying one to another, Behold, are these not all Galileans that speak our language? And how we hear every man in our own tongue, wherein we were born?" And I'm going to skip verse 9, you know, with all that, where they all came from, and 10, where they all came from. And we'll go to 11. "Cretes and Arabians, we do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God." Stop right there. What were they praying in tongues? The wonderful works of God. Anybody ever hear someone say, tongues comes from the devil? What were they saying here? Wonderful works of God. If you pray in another tongue, you are praising God and his wonderful works. It's just between you and him. Stop that nonsense. "And they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, What does this mean?" Remember that, Rick? What does this mean? That's what I said. I didn't know this was in the Bible that night at our Bible study. I was a baby Christian. I said, what does this mean? And he opened up the Bible. "Others mocking said, These men are full of new wine." Okay? But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, Ye men of Judea, and ye all that dwell in Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words. For these are not drunken, as you suppose, seeing this is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel, and it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Amen. They weren't drunk. Actually, they were. They were drunk in the Holy Spirit. We found out in Ephesians, you can get drunk in the Holy Spirit. And I had about half of you raised your hand saying you've been through that experience. If you haven't, just ask God. Go seeking Him. Get yourself that experience. That first time, it was my first year at this new school, and there's a group of students that come and have lunch with me every day, including my son. And they knew I was drunk in the Holy Spirit. Some of them come from churches where they get that. But no one else in that school. I had to kind of hide it that day. I couldn't, try to control myself as best I could. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So you can get drunk in the Holy Ghost. I'm drunk in the Holy Ghost. I've got the strength to go ahead and do this. We'll see how it goes as it goes along. But you can get drunk in the Holy Ghost. And again, I suggest you go to God and just say, Lord, I want to experience that. I want a hit. Give me a hit of that. I want some of that. Okay, when Jesus walked the earth, He said, this spirit that is with you shall be in you. Stop and think about that. He lives in you. You are the temple of the living God. It's amazing we can keep Him in there. He's so big. He's way bigger than us, yet He lives in there. There's lots of good stuff there. Lots of good stuff. How many have ever, we're not going to go here in the Bible, but laughter in the Spirit. Or maybe your laughter and drunk in the Spirit was the same together and got that laugh. I thought we were going to get it going a little bit there, and I went to the Word. There's wonderful ways to praise God and give Him glory. I had an experience last year for about a half hour where I just sang in tongues to the Lord. And I'd never done that before. I had tried, but you can't try. You know, it comes up from your spirit. So I didn't have to try this day. It just flowed out of me. It just flowed, and it was just me and God. And I prayed in psalms and spiritual songs, as the Bible says, praying in tongues to the Lord, singing in tongues to the Lord. Hallelujah. It's a wonderful, wonderful experience. Praise God. Well, the thing the Lord wanted me to bring up first today after that is just talk a little bit about the phases of a Christian's life. Okay? The different phases we go through. Now, I might be preaching to the choir here today, but this is on my heart. So it's for somebody. And it may be not here, but who might be listening. Okay, three phases to a Christian's life. And it's frustrating when you know that and you see Christians stop at just one phase of it. And they don't allow the rest to happen in their lives. Okay, phase number one is the cross. The cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. And each one of our Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, give an account of Jesus going to the cross. And that's where we surrendered it all. Where He gave up His life. Where He shed His blood. Where He did it all for us. At the cross. At the cross. Sometimes when we're struggling, we got to go back to the cross. Got to go back there. It's okay to revisit the cross. Okay? And understand what I'm saying to you here today. Don't stay there. Okay? Don't stay there. Because He has way more for you. Okay? You don't lose the fact that you went to the cross. You don't lose the fact that Jesus is your Lord and Savior. You don't lose the fact that love has been shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Ghost. You've got that. But there's a lot of misinformed Christians that stay at the cross. And God wants so much more for them. He has so much more in their lives for them. Does that make sense? Go back for a visit once in a while, but don't stay there. Okay. How many would agree with me that the life of the disciples, the first church, kind of made a path for us in how we're supposed to live our lives as Christians? Would you agree with that? That we can kind of watch what the disciples did and know that that's the plan that God has for our lives. Okay? To follow in that same kind of pattern. Now, not everybody's called to preach. They were all preaching. Everybody has a different phase of ministry that God has for you. We all have, He has a plan for our lives, Jeremiah 29:11, and He has a role for us to fill in His plans and purposes. It's not all the same. But the way that they went from the cross, Jesus leaving, and then moving on in their ministry, in their lives, and how they spread that to others. It's supposed to be a domino effect. They got it started and it just dominoes right on down to us, and we just keep, you know, knocking the dominoes down to the future generations until it's all over. And so let's look a little bit at what the disciples did. What happened to them after the cross? What went on? Let's back up to Acts chapter 1. Here they are. Jesus has ascended into heaven. He has appeared unto them. But now he's going to be gone. And Peter's the one that Jesus said to, it's expedient that I go away. It's because Peter didn't want him to go anywhere. They didn't want him to go anywhere. It's the best thing that ever happened to him. He's the best thing that ever happened to all of us, you guys, the Lord Jesus. But he was not going to leave us comfortless. It wasn't going to happen. He said he would send the Comforter, the Holy Spirit. One just like him, another Comforter. He was going to leave, but he says, it's better that I leave and I send the Comforter to you. Hallelujah. He had it all figured out already. Send the Comforter. Spirit that is with you shall be in you. Hallelujah. Acts chapter 1, I'll go to start at verse 2. Until that day in which he was taken up, after that through the Holy Ghost had given commandments unto the apostles in whom he had chosen, to whom also he shown himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Okay? And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of us. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. Okay. Why didn't he want them to leave Jerusalem? Anybody have any idea why he wanted them to stay there? He had a plan. He had a plan. And this is the spot where a lot of Christians get off. They receive Jesus as Lord and Savior and they just stay there at the cross. Jesus said, no, don't go back to your jobs. Don't go back to being fishermen and tax collectors. Don't go back to doing all that. Wait. Stay and tarry in Jerusalem until the promise of the Holy Ghost comes. What's the next phase after the cross? Getting filled with the Holy Ghost. That is the next phase. Makes it very clear in here, wait until, okay, he comes before you go out and try to do anything. Wait for this. Don't try to do anything on your own. Wait for the Holy Ghost. Are you with me? Understand what I'm saying? The cross. We've got the cross. We forever have the cross because we have Jesus. Don't think I'm speaking blasphemy here. I'm not. Okay? But it's time to move on. It's time to grow in the Lord. And the process he gave the disciples is the same process he's given us. And that's to get filled with the Holy Ghost. Okay, why? Well, let's answer that question right now. Let's keep reading. Why should we get filled with the Holy Ghost? Well, first of all, he said so. That's good enough for me. But verse 8. But you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem, in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. Okay? What comes with getting filled with the Holy Spirit? Power. Power to be his witnesses. Now, again, don't think that what I'm doing here is necessarily what he's called you to do. If it is, wonderful. Okay? It might be changing dirty diapers in the nursery. Okay? But there's power involved with that. There's witnessing involved with that. Okay? It doesn't matter what he's called you to do. That power is there when you get filled with the Holy Ghost to be his witness. The Lord gave me a dream. I can't remember if it was a dream or a vision one time, and he showed me a big fire hall. It looked like a fire station because there was a pole. It's two-story. It was open. This wall was open so I could see. And there's all these people on the second floor, and there's this pole. And then there's a long, long stairwell, maybe 400 steps going from the second floor down to the floor level. Okay? And as the dream revision went on, there's people going down the pole. Not a lot of them, but just some of them, quickly getting to the bottom. But the vast majority of them were walking down the stairs. Now picture yourself with hundreds of people going down hundreds of stairs trying to get to the bottom. Okay? You got to be real careful, don't you? It's going to take you a little bit of time. Okay, it's going to take a little emotional energy and focus and concentration. All right? So if he's called us to a specific purpose, we want to get to it, don't we? Would we rather come down the pole or walk down the stairs? Give me the pole. Any old Batman fans here when he used to get on the bat pole and go down? No? I'm that old, huh? Okay. All right. He told me, he said, my children that accept my gift of the Holy Ghost and my gifts of the Spirit and operate in the fullness of the gifts I've given them and called them to are the ones going down the pole. My children that deny it, okay, or worse yet, get denied by preachers who preach that crap, that there is no Holy Ghost anymore today. Sorry, that wasn't a bad word. And they're walking down the stairs to get to where God wants them to go, amongst masses of other people, being careful about every step. When you could just get on the pole and go down and be down like that. What a great illustration. Brothers and sisters, I know that the majority of us in here are spirit-filled. I get that. But the point is, we have brothers and sisters out there who are not. And we need to be in our prayer closets praying for them to receive the same gift that we did. Amen? Are you with me on that? Okay, this isn't some kind of a vision. Oh, good job, you guys. They're bad. You're good. No. No, no. We're in this together. When you're filled with the Holy Ghost, you have a gift on the inside of you that brings edification and power to other people. They're trying to operate in God's plans for their lives without those gifts in operation. What's going to work better for the body of Christ? Being filled with the Holy Spirit. Being filled with the Holy Ghost. Just stop and think about the people that he wants saved. I get a little bit tired of songs. I like KSLT. Don't get me wrong. I like The Breeze. It's my favorite. They're my favorite stations. But the songs that talk about, I can't wait to get to heaven and see Jesus. And you know what? We got a lot of work to do here on earth. We got a lot of work to do. I don't want my mindset to be, I can't wait. I wish the rapture would come today. No. There's people going to hell every single day that need people witnessing for them, that need people praying for them to be witnessed to. There's Christians who need the empowerment of the Holy Ghost so that they can be those witnesses and have that power we just read about. And they're trying to do it without the power, being denied a gift of God. I didn't mean to make that personal. I don't like songs like that. No, we don't want to have it done and over with. There's too many going to hell. We got to have a heart for the lost. We got to want people to not go to hell and go to heaven and fulfill God's plans and purposes for their lives. Just one person that doesn't fulfill his plans. Yes, let's say they do go to hell. But think back to the plans and purposes he would have for their lives. Do you think other people getting saved are part of that plan? Do you think that's in there? Yeah. So if we lose that person, not only is that a lost child of God to spend eternity in the regions of the damned burning forever, but we've lost the witness, we've lost the influence, and the body of Christ is not in order. So I'm asking you to think a little deeper and have a little more empathy and compassion for our fellow brothers and sisters out there. Again, I'm not sharing stories with you to say, we do it this way, you don't, Nana, you know. It's not to pat ourselves on the back. We got a job to do. We need to be witnessing the Holy Ghost to people. We need to be in that situation where God can use us. And if you're filled with the Holy Ghost, you have the power. You've got that power on the inside of you that comes from getting filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Two phases so far. Cross. Oh. How many remember when you got saved? Can you think back to when you got saved? Nobody? Come on, get your hands up. Let me see them. Humor me a little bit. What a wonderful, wonderful time. I thought I could walk on air. It was so incredible. And then a week later, filled with the Holy Ghost. It doesn't have to be anything magical either. You know how I got filled with the Holy Ghost? First of all, it's a gift and I received it from God. But I needed someone to pray with me. It was over the phone with Rick Wilson. Rick, I want it. I want it now. Okay. He prayed. I received. It was done. It was a done deal. Two steps. They're not Paul Anderson's steps. These are the steps ordered by our Lord for all of us. And I don't know where preachers and ministers get off on cutting the gospel off. And when they do that, they're hindering the body of Christ and our ability to share the word. These are gifts to be used to minister to the lost and to edify the saints so that they can be built up to bring in the lost. Amen? And it's being God's gifts are not being used as they need to be used. Number one, the cross. Don't ever forget about that. Go for a visit once in a while to go back. But Jesus said, do not depart. Stay and wait for the promise. Promise of the Holy Ghost, because with it comes power to be my witnesses. Don't segregate yourself out of that. Again, a witness could be changing diapers in the nursery. That could be a witness. It's whatever God has for you. Worshiping in the beauty of holiness and purpose, the Bible says. That's step two. Phase two. I don't want to say step, but are you with me? You following along? We've gone to the end of the Gospels. Jesus gives himself up, raised from the dead, spends some time with the disciples, tells them, stay. Stay. Don't try to do anything without the Comforter. It's really what he's saying. Don't try it. Just stay, relax, have a good time. Peter probably tried, knowing his personality. He probably tried to go back to be a fisherman or something. I don't know that. That's just the way he was. You know, no, don't wait for the promise of the Holy Ghost. Brothers and sisters, should we get filled with the Holy Ghost? Yes. That's where the power comes from to be his witnesses. Hallelujah. All right. Phase three. I'm just going to call these three very general phases, because you could fill in gaps like crazy underneath each one. Let's call it a very, very broad outline. How's that, Sherry? Does that work for you? Looking at the teachers in here. Very, very broad, Michelle, teachers. Very broad outline. Okay? And then we'll fill in the gaps after that. All right? Let's go to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. Wow. Time is it? Hallelujah. He's good. He's good. Whew, it's coming back. Someone may need to finish the service for me. Jan, I think it'd be you. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 6. What does that say? It's coming back. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. One more time, Ephesians 2, 6. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Okay? Brothers and sisters, there might be some truth in this about one day when we get to heaven. Okay? There might be. This isn't about heaven. This is here on earth. That's what this is talking about. And the Lord wants me to share that with you today. You can sit in heavenly places with Christ Jesus right here on the earth. Together in the body of Christ. The cross, the Holy Spirit, sit in heavenly places with Christ Jesus while you're here on earth. His kingdom has come. His kingdom has come. He has paid the price. We're living in the new covenant where we have the Holy Spirit, we have the resurrected Jesus Christ, and we have the power of the gifts of the Spirit in operation. Let's sit in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. Let's do that. Hallelujah. Let's go to Mark chapter 16. Just a tiny, tiny example. And then he's telling me now we've got to move on to something else. Just get that point across there. Mark chapter 16. Just a little taste of what it means to sit in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. You probably could not write books to fill all that in and what that means. Mark chapter 16, let's start at verse 15. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. Okay, just a little taste of heaven on earth. Here it is. In my name you shall cast out devils. Can I get an amen? Come on, Christians. I know you do that. You should be cleaning your house out all the time. Okay? You should be telling that sorry sucker to stay away from your children all the time. You have the authority in the name of Jesus Christ. Use that authority. Use that name. Do it in faith. Hallelujah. In my name they shall cast out devils. Does it say pray to God so he'll do something about the devil for you? No, he's done all he can do. He's already done it. He already paid the price. And he's given the power to us so that as we sit in heavenly places in him here on earth, we can use this authority for the betterment of the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. I remember walking in a building one time. And just this incredible ugh. I'm just like, what in the heck is that? And I just, my spirit was just sad and it felt horrible. I just sat down and started praying in the Holy Spirit a little bit. And he said, you need to get them out of here. They had been, the Satan had been allowed in and there were demons in there. So I cast them out of there and peace came. And the place was cleaned up. We have that authority in Jesus Christ, in his name. Hallelujah. They shall speak with new tongues. Every believer shall speak with new tongues. Every believer shall speak with new tongues. It says right here, go throughout the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes will be saved. He that does not will be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. Raise your hand if you're a them that believe. Help me here, you guys. Come on. Them that believe, they shall speak with new tongues. That doesn't exclude anybody. That is for everybody. That is for everyone. And I'm not going to get too heavily into that topic as we finish the sermon today. But let me tell you what happens when you speak in other tongues. You don't talk to anybody else but talk to God. It's you and him. You. I'm going to go back to a Batman thing again. You guys are all too young to remember Batman. Okay? There was the bat phone. It was a direct line. Batman could call Commissioner Gordon. Okay? Just their own line between the two of them. You have one with God. The devil doesn't know what you're saying when you pray in other tongues. Most of the time, we don't know what we're saying in other tongues, but it sure edifies the heck out of us. The Bible says we're praying out mysteries. We're praying out mysteries when we pray in other tongues. Mysteries. What's so mysterious? The future. Anybody like Back to the Future or time travel movies besides me? You're praying the future. He's taking you there. Now, you don't know everything you're saying and praying, but I believe it's, I know it's good. You know it's good. So we got a little Batman going on here. We got Back to the Future going on here. You got a direct line to God, and you're praying out the future. You are in the future. Okay? Think about that. All right? What else is going on? You get edified. What does edification mean? Someone got a good word for it? Okay, educate to be enlightened, yes. What else? Lifting up. How about made new? Edification makes new on the inside of you. You spend time praying in tongues, you're going to get edified. Because it's your spirit praying. You just lend him your vocal cords. And your spirit's in direct communion with God. It's just you and him. And it comes up out of you. And it's going to make the inside of you very, very happy because the spirit dwells inside of you. Your spirit is the real you. And it likes that. How could you not like the bat phone, you know, the direct line to Jesus himself whenever you want. Whenever you want. So we've got a direct line to God. We get edified. What was my other one? You're praying out mysteries. You're praying out mysteries. Here's some more benefits. Acts chapter 2, they were speaking in a language of other people that they didn't even know. It wasn't native to them. It wasn't their language. It was just supernaturally coming out. I got to do that one time to a Native American. God, you're talking about God, aren't you? I think, you know, I said, yeah. I was witnessing in his tongue the wonderful works of God. So, anybody else get used like that, where you got to use the... Betsy, are you saying yes? Yes? You get to speak in the language of someone else. Okay? And a witness right to them like they did in Acts chapter 2. Okay? There's another one. It's called interceding. You're interceding for somebody. The Bible says we don't know what to pray for, but our spirit makes intercession with groanings that cannot be uttered. You don't know what you're praying for. When I get those immediately, I think my children. Man, and I just start getting into the Holy Spirit and you start praying that out in tongues. And you pray it and you pray it and you pray it until you get a peace. Until you get a peace. I remember taking Luke and Bryce Schaefer and Ethan. We took them to a basketball game one time. Down in Hot Springs. It was Larry Luchin's 700th win or something like that. And so we decided to go to the game. Well, Bryce and I are getting this burden to pray on the way down there. So the boys, Ethan and Luke, are 3 and 4, so they're playing in the back in their car seats. And we got to pray this through, Bryce, and we just prayed it through and prayed it through till we got the peace. The peace tells you you've gotten through it. You're done. The answer came. But you were interceding for something. God is always looking for someone to stand in the hedge to make up the gap, okay, on behalf of someone else. As it turned out, we had some drunk students at the basketball game. And I found out later that the prayer kept it from becoming a debacle right there in the gym. It got handled in a much better way. Praise Almighty God. Praise His name. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, the 9 gifts of the Spirit. 2 of the gifts are the gift of tongues and the gift of interpretation of tongues. We've had that manifest many times right here in church services, where someone will have the tongue and the other person will have the interpretation. That's God speaking directly to us through those gifts of the Spirit. Okay? There's nothing in there about praying to the devil. That's all good stuff. You want to hear from God? Be obedient to the tongue and interpretation. I had a student come to school one morning, crying her eyes out. We got to go find Mr. Anderson. Comes and finds me. Another student brought her. I had first period free. And we're just talking. She just had a fight with her mom. And we're just talking. Now, Lord, I could just sense he wanted to say something, and he wanted to use tongues with interpretation. You know, and I got to be careful at the school I'm at. There's rules about some of those gifts of the Spirit. And the other girl with her went to a Spirit-filled church, so she understood. I asked, I have a tongue. And she said, oh, I understand that. Go ahead. And so I had the tongue, and then I had the interpretation. And God spoke directly to her and told him how much he loved her and how he had a plan for her life and that she can move forward and that she and her mother will have a great relationship. Words from the Father himself. I was just a vessel. But had I not been obedient to the tongue and then open to the interpretation to that young lady, she wouldn't have got that edification. Tongues are good. Praying in the Holy Spirit and in tongues is good stuff. It will help you. I had a basketball player this year. Coach, can we pray in tongues? She always wanted to pray in tongues before games. And I mean, shame on me. I didn't always find the time, you know, to do that. But every time we did, oh my gosh, she just on fire out there. And then when coach would forget, she was just kind of flat out there. Well, we're going to find the time from now on. We're going to make sure we get that done, get that taken care of. Hallelujah. There is a whole other direction I'm going to go, but I got to go quick. I'll go quick. Can you give me some time? Can you give me some time? Okay. Three phases. The cross, Pentecost, the Holy Spirit sitting in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. Right, Sherry? Broad outline with lots of stuff in between. I'm not trying to say, here's 3 points and it'll change your life. No, there's lots of things in there that pertain to all of us, pertain to godliness that I'm not hitting on. But those are three. And brothers and sisters, the majority of our Christian world stops at phase 1 and they stay there. They need the gifts of the Spirit too. They need the Holy Spirit. They need to sit in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. An area to be praying about. An area to be praying about so the eyes of their understanding gets opened up and they can see what's available to them. That it is not a kooky thing. It is a supernatural thing. And you can stop and think about it from another perspective. Are the gifts of the Spirit and the Holy Spirit a gift from God? How would you feel if you gave a gift to your child and they said, nope, don't want it, don't need it? Ouch. That wouldn't feel too good. It's a gift. Now, we have to have compassion and empathy, not judgment, and pray for them. Their spirits to be softened and opportunities for people to come so they can be witnessed to and they can receive the blessed gift of the Holy Ghost and receive their prayer language and be able to pray in other tongues. Hallelujah. All right. How should we do this, Lord? Okay. Everybody go with me to Habakkuk. Habakkuk. Did I cover it? We'll go real quick here. Everybody can go immediately to Habakkuk, right? It doesn't take... Habakkuk Habakkuk 2:4. Whoever's got King James, just read it nice and loud. Whoever gets it first. Habakkuk 2:4. Please. Last part she said, the just shall live by faith. Okay? Who's the just? We are. Justified by what? The blood of Jesus Christ, cleansing us from all unrighteousness. The just shall live by faith. Okay? The just shall live by faith. All right. Someone else, thank you, Michelle, grab me Romans 1:17. Romans 1:17. I know you hear me. Paul, does it bother you when people sleep? No, they're listening. They're just resting their eyes. They're listening.
For there is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith.
The just shall live by faith. Those are two different scriptures. Okay? Who are the just? We are. How are we supposed to live? By faith. By faith. You see a theme developing here? All right, third one. Galatians 3:11. So far, Jim and Michelle are jumping all over that. Mal, you next? Galatians 3:11. Who's got it?
I'm being...
What was that last part, Jen? The just shall live by faith. Who are the just? How are we supposed to live? This is more than a theme, folks. Hebrews 10:38. I appreciate this audience participation. Actually, I'm too lazy to look them up myself. I'll just abbreviate and I want to get the full thing out there. Hebrews 10:38. You'd have been all over it, right, Dick? Just take a hit, buddy. Take a hit. Who's got Hebrews 10:38? Go ahead, Jim.
Now the just shall live by faith.
Stop! Jabba, thank you. Thank you, man. Four different places in the Bible, the just shall live by faith. Who are we? How are we supposed to live? By faith. Okay? There's a scripture in the Bible that says that without faith it's impossible to please God. Anybody know where that's at? Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. We know we're supposed to live by it. Without it, we can't please Him. How should we live our lives? By faith. By faith. We should live our lives by faith. Hallelujah. All right. Let's go to... Mark 11:24. Mark 11:24. I said we'd come back to this. I think I've got this one memorized, so I don't need anybody to read it. Mark 11:24. Much is given to Mark 11:23, and it should. Mark 11:23 talks about you can have what you say. You believe it in your heart and you speak it with your mouth, you can have what you say. Okay? Mark 11:24 gives another version of that where you don't say it, you pray it instead. Okay? And that's what's on my heart today. On my heart today to somehow bring this to a conclusion is for everybody in here to either use Mark 11:24 to pray for something that you want in your life, or maybe there's something you've been believing for and you kind of let it go. You dropped it. You need to pick it back up again. Okay? Mark 11:24. Therefore, whatsoever things you desire, when you pray, believe you receive them and you shall have them. Okay? Whatsoever things you desire, when you pray, believe you receive them and you shall have them. Okay? When do you believe you've received whatever you're asking God for? When you pray. When you pray. Okay? He's a faith God. To please Him, we have to be in faith. So it's when we're praying that we believe we receive what we prayed for. When we prayed for Pastor Joel a little while ago, by the time amen was done, it was done. It was a done deal. I got a funny story to share with you, teaching this scripture to some kids, and then I'll give some examples, and then we'll end the service a little bit about, you know, using Mark 11:24. My son Luke was in Bible class, or excuse me, geography class with me as a freshman, and it wasn't his section, but another section of class that I had, where this Bible stuff just came up all the time. And we did have geography once in a while, I promise you. Okay? It just kept coming. These kids liked to talk, and they were hungry. They wanted more. Sometimes lunch was the next hour, and sometimes they'd come right back with their lunch, and they want to keep talking, and praise God. Glory to God. Anyway, I was teaching them Mark 11:24. Therefore, whatsoever things you desire, what do you desire? What do you want? When you pray, believe you receive them, and you shall have them. Now, it's hard for a ninth grade student, albeit they were all Christians, to get their head around that if they've never been taught what faith is. Okay? What is faith? Faith is taking God at his word without any evidence other than his written word. Or maybe a spoken word to your heart. That's what that is. You just take him at his word. Okay? That's it. That's what we're going to do. So finally, one young man says, let's pray for something. Let's ask God for something. It's like, woo, cool. All right. What do you guys want? I said to the class. At the time, you may have played on this floor. You guys were on that floor. Lizzie might have played on the floor. It was like a plastic floor put together in pieces. It was terrible. Kids would be running and I'd be practicing my putting and the ball just would not stay straight on that thing. No, that. I would do that, but that's not the reason. They wanted a wood floor. Lizzie's embarrassed for her dad. It's okay, baby. It was put together. You played on it, didn't you? You played on it. It was put together in pieces, and it used to be the state of the art 15, 20 years ago. Portable court. You just put it together right there, and it was on concrete. And one young man said, I want a wood floor. I said, okay, there we go. Let's ask God for a wood floor. There's a young lady in the class who was always the good Acts 17 girl. Can we ask for that? Search the scriptures daily to see if these things were so. Can we? Is that something that God will give us? Well, we ascertained through 3 John 2, who wills above all things that we prosper and be in health, that our health would be better on that floor, on a good wood floor that gives a little than that jigsaw puzzle on concrete. Okay? We ascertained that. She was all right with it then. Okay, there's something promised in God's word. That is a great gift to have. A great gift to just question and question and question. So many times, show me, Mr. Anderson. I got to see that in the word. Okay, we'll show you it in the word. Anyway, so I said, okay, we're going to pray for the wood floor, you guys. I had about 5 or 6 out of 18 or 19 that got it, but it was enough. Whatsoever things you desire, wood floor, when you pray, believe you receive it and you shall have it. We had to talk about that first. Okay, you guys, this is happening now when we pray. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. It is now. We talked before about present, future, and past tense. It's now. Faith is right now. The accomplished fact of us being healed, okay, is because of what Jesus already did. So we have the faith now to receive it. And another young man says, when we get done praying, will we go down there and see it? And I said, I wouldn't put it past God because he's a God of miracles. Okay? But don't lose the point here, I said, as we go along with this. Even if it's physically not there at the moment, we've got it. We've received it at that moment when we prayed. It's done. All we need to do is praise God for it. Like I said, about 5 or 6 got it. Okay, you ready to pray? Got this? All right, I got on my knees and, you know, prayed for the wood floor, asked for it. Got up, started running around the room, classroom. I didn't really jump on desks. I might have hurt myself doing that, but I was jumping and leaping. Woo! If I could have done cartwheels, I'd have been doing cartwheels. And they're looking at me. Mr. Anderson, are you okay? We got it! We got the wood floor! Don't you see it? It's a done deal! Celebrate! They had never heard any kind of teaching like that before. I just kept praising God, worshiping, dripping with sweat because I'm just going crazy. Ah, David danced with all his might, the Bible says. Oh, I can't talk about dancing in the same room as my kids who are dancers because that's not dancing. That wasn't Holy Ghost dancing. That was me celebrating. Anyway, we were done. It was done when we said amen. Now, this is a Christian school struggling, you know, to make it financially. It doesn't matter. You don't think about things like that. God's big enough for that. He just wants you to release your faith. Let it go. Let your faith out there and just believe. That's all you got to do. And keep the switch turned on at all times. Don't ever turn the switch off. Keep believing. Keep believing. 2 months passed by. To start every class with praise God for our wood floor. Glory to you, Lord. No, I'm sorry. Thank you. The next day, one of Luke's classmates shows up, brand new pair of shoes. Look, Mr. Anderson, got some new volleyball shoes. Boy, that's great. Wow, great shoes, you know. Not used to kids coming up and sharing their shoes with me, you know. Mr. Anderson, you don't get it. These are shoes for the new wood floor. I went and bought them last night. Woo-hoo! She got it. Holy cow, she blew me away. Okay, now I can go to 2 months later. 2 months later, the athletic director sees me in the hallway. Guess what? We have just had about two or three donors come forward with money to start a project for a new wood floor. Now, he was disappointed that I didn't start doing the flips and the cartwheels and the supposed dance at that time. It was done already. I tried to be excited. I had already spent it all. I've been spending it. I said, Greg, that's wonderful. Thanks, bud. Thought you'd be more happy about that. I got a story to tell you. I had to explain to him, you know, why. I'm happy, Greg. Believe me, I'm very happy. But I had kind of spent that. I'm already there. 2 months later, coming down the hallway. Hey, Paul, guess what? What, Greg? We got all the money for the wood floor. Within a 4-month period of time. That money, because of the faith of some children believing God and learned a lesson and how we receive from God, how without that faith, it's impossible to please him. Are there naysayers out there? Oh, that was probably going to come anyway, but yeah, I don't believe that for 1 minute. I know I had some kids who released their faith, and that wood floor is there as a result of that. Now, glory to God. All good and perfect gifts come down from the Father above. That's a gift from him, and we praise him for it. Faith had to be released for us to be able to get that wood floor, and it was released. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Now, there's another side to this, and I'm going to tell a couple more stories in just putting faith out there before we conclude the service. Everybody go to Hebrews chapter 4. Hallelujah. Hebrews chapter 4, and that will be verse 14. Hebrews 4:14. Did I send you to the wrong place? Hebrews 4:14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, glory to you, Lord. Let us hold fast our profession of faith. Let us hold fast our profession of faith. For the 4-month period of time, while the wood floor was being materialized, I'll use that word, what do we have to hold fast to? Our profession of faith. Another word for profession is confession. You confess. We've got it. Praise God. Hold on to it. Don't raise your hands. How many here have been believing for something and you've either let go of it or you're tempted to let go of it? Don't raise your hands. Get back your profession of faith. Get that confession going again. Get back to what that was and start speaking it and thanking God that you have it. You believe you received it. Believe you received it. Now, my examples. Jan, if I could, from our growth together, or you being my spiritual mother. when my son Luke was a baby, he had a pretty bad fever, and Jenny and I were contemplating in the middle of the night, do we take him to the emergency room? And I said, no, give him to me. You go back to bed. And I put him in my arms and I just started walking the house, upstairs, downstairs, family room, living room, kitchen. And I just did nothing but speak the word over his body. Just kept speaking the word over his body. Who his own self bore our sins in his own body on the tree, so that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes my son Luke is healed. Surely, Jesus, you bore all Luke's sicknesses and diseases and carried all of his pains. By your stripes he is healed. And Jesus sent his word and it healed him. Your word says, Lord, I can have what I say. I say my son is healed. You are the God that healeth me. You take sickness away from the midst of me. You are the God that healeth my son, Luke. You take sickness away from the midst of him. 3 hours and 45 minutes of nothing but feeding the word at his condition. The word, the word, the word. Okay? Was that faith? It is. I believed that that was going to be what it took in that situation. Okay? I was holding fast my profession of faith. How do you hold fast to it? Feed the word. Faith action. Take faith action. Christ has redeemed Luke from the curse of sickness and disease. He was made the curse of sickness and disease for him. For it is written, cursed with sickness and disease is anyone that hangeth on a tree. You took it, Jesus. He doesn't need to have it. That kind of talk for 3 hours and 45 minutes. And I just wouldn't give up. I was going to hold on to my profession of faith. Man, I knew it was 3 hours, 45 minutes because I kept looking at my watch. Something hit me. Shot through my body and went into his little body, and I knew what had happened. It was the anointing, the healing anointing came out of my body and went into his little body. And then another 45 minutes of just praising God, glorifying him. I burned a few calories that night. I didn't even want to touch his forehead because I knew what had happened. And I didn't want that moment to end. It was so incredible. Okay, finally put him to bed, and then I went off to bed. A few days later, we're having Bible study with Rick and Jan, and Jan says, I'm having this pain in my leg. And Paul, she looks right at me, Paul, you're going to pray for it. Pick me out. That same anointing shot through me. Okay. I went and prayed for her, and she received it, and she was healed. Why the 3 hours and 45 minutes, and why immediately like that? I don't have 100% answers for you on that. But I do know that the Bible says, hold fast to your profession or confession of faith. I was not going to stop until my son was healed. I was not going to stop until that fever had left his body. I was going to keep feeding the word. Okay, at that moment. I wish I had a better answer for you on why one is like one and one is like another one. But I don't. Sometimes we have to hold fast to our profession and confession of faith. I got a little brother, just gave his life to Jesus last June 4th. Do you know how many years I was in prayer believing for him? Over 20 years believing for him to receive Jesus as Lord and Savior. And I got the blessing of doing the prayer with him. He came to my school and right by my desk, got on his knees and gave his life to Jesus. Never let go of that profession of faith, that confession of faith. Never give up on it. Don't put God in your timeline. Don't do it. You'll fail every time. He knows when the right time is. All you can do is keep your faith switch turned on and keep your profession of faith going strong. Going strong. Going strong. It's never on our time. But that was cool, wasn't it, Jan? That immediate? Oh, that's so fun. Laying hands on a volleyball player. Coach Leif, pray for me. Right through him. Whoa. She looked at me. She goes, oh, my gosh. I said, yeah. Praise God. You know. Then other times, there's nothing there. It's dead. But then you release your faith. Because you, what the word says, believers shall lay their hands on the sick, and the sick shall recover. That anointing, that gift of healing that, you know, I wish it happened every time, but it doesn't. It says God wills, as the Spirit wills. To close our service today, I'm going to ask the prayer warriors to come up. I think I've got Sally. I've got Kim and Betsy. Is anybody else? If you guys would come up, they're just going to play a CD. If you want to pray with one of them to believe something, Mark 11:24. Therefore, whatsoever things you desire, when you pray, believe you receive them and you shall have them. Pray that with our prayer warriors and release that faith by the time you say amen. By the time you say amen, it's done. And then you're going to hold on to your profession of faith. You're just going to hang on to that thing. It's done. It's a done deal, and you're just going to praise God for it. Something in your life. This was led by the Lord, you guys. There's some things, okay? And this is an opportunity. Faith has been ministered, okay? Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. Our faith is pretty strong right now from listening to God's Word, okay? So either sitting right there or come on up and have someone pray for you. If we could start that music, please. Release your faith. Ask God for something. Ask Him. If there's something you've let go of and you want to pick it up again, by all means, pick it up again and hold fast to your profession of faith, your confession of faith. And believe you have that thing now. Believe that you have that thing right now. Okay? Now, before we get to that, I'm going to say a quick prayer. I want everybody to pray it with me. Just in the event we have someone here who does not know Jesus as Lord and Savior, we cannot close a service without doing that. Please repeat after me. Father God, thank you for your word. Thank you for sending Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Father, forgive me of all my sins. Cleanse me from all unrighteousness. I believe in my heart, and I speak with my mouth, that you raised Jesus from the dead, and He is the Lord of my life. Jesus, I make you Lord and Savior of my life. Teach me how to live. Show me the way from you to Pentecost to sitting in heavenly places. In Jesus' name, amen. If there's anybody that would like the baptism of the Holy Ghost, the thing that Jesus said to wait for, that'd be a pretty good thing to ask Him for too. Hallelujah.